Father, I mean, you are to be our focus. You're where our heart is to be. Your word is where our minds need to focus. And that's the diet that we need to feed ourselves. You know, when it comes to healing, Father, I think about, what happened in the Old Testament, how there was not one feeble knee amongst them when they left, when they were delivered. You know, you're the most high God. You're the God who can do anything, and you can certainly heal people. I mean, you designed us, you created us, you formed and created us. You know exactly what needs to be done. You know what we need to have healing in our lives. You know what we don't know to pray for. We can speak in tongues. You know, that's the proof that we have Holy Spirit. And God, I'm just so very thankful that you are who you are and that we're your children. And Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to be ambassadors and to speak your word and to add to your family, because I know that's exactly what you want. You want more children. Amen.
Anyone else? All right, well, amen then. That's great. Wonderful. Yeah, God does some pretty amazing things for each and every one of us, right? So there's always things that he's doing for us. Sometimes we see them, many times we see them, sometimes we don't. But he's at work. God is constantly at work taking care of us, his kids. And that is certainly something that we all can be thankful for. And you know, the things that he does, it's so inspiring when we hear of them. You know, I was watching something, flipping through channels, as my manner is, on the television. Whenever I sit down, I'm always flipping through the channels looking for something interesting. It takes a while, as you all know, but it was interesting. I came upon this one ministry that was on, and they were sharing some testimonies that people had written in, testimonies of healing and deliverance. And, this is what God does, regardless of what, pew or what living room we sit in or what part of, wherever we are, if we focus our heart on God and we're confident in him and his ability to manifest his grace and his mercy to us, he does great things for us. All we need to know is that God is a God of deliverance and that he wants to deliver. Not only does he want all men to be saved, he wants them to come to a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of the truth of what Jesus Christ, that one man, mediated between all of God's creation and himself, that new covenant that would include salvation by faith, and that it be by faith and not of works, right? That covenant, that new covenant, that when we believe on Jesus Christ, God provides for us our salvation and our wholeness. And beyond that salvation is the promise of continual empowerment, being empowered by the Spirit, and continued care of our Heavenly Father. He cares for each one of us. He cares what we go through. Like we heard the prayers this morning, how much he's done for us already that we are acknowledging and we're aware of. And that brings us to that place where we can anticipate even more, to where every day we can anticipate God doing something miraculous, something extraordinary, because that's what he loves to do. He does not like to leave any question as to whether or not he has performed for his kids. Whenever he does, we're sure to know it. And that's the great reality of our lives, how we can live day by day. And as we share these things, as we give testimony as to God's grace, God's goodness, God's power working in our lives, that encourages others. you know, I was very encouraged when I heard those things last night. Didn't know that, you know, anything about what they were teaching, other than they were teaching that signs, miracles, and wonders follow those that believe. And you know what? If that's all that that ministry teaches, then praise God.
Yeah.
Because that's what God wants. God wants to perform miracles for us because it's Jesus Christ who made us whole. He made us whole. He did by doing what he did. It's our forgiveness that we have in the shedding of his blood. And it's that wholeness and deliverance that we have by him sacrificing himself, his broken body, right? It was more than just him giving his life for the forgiveness of sins. It was so that we could live a life that was whole in every respect, in every aspect. And the more we hear of God doing those things for each and every one of us and others who believe God, the more confidence we have in him to take care of the things that are on the horizon for us or that are, you know, that we've been met with today. You know, we wake up today, a new day. There are great things that God has prepared for each of us. And there may be great challenges that the adversary has set up in our path. But each and everything that we do with God, we are assured of being more than conquerors in every situation. We are assured of having the victory over every circumstance, every condition that we find ourselves in. We have the victory. Right? And so the more we share those things one with another, the more inspired we get, the more confidence builds within our own heart. That's why, you know, we like to hear the things that God has been doing for each of us. Because it does build confidence in us. Not that, you know, without those things, sometimes we hear many, many testimonies. Sometimes we don't hear that many. Sometimes you don't hear any, you know, hey, what's God been doing? Well, let me think, what's recent? Well, maybe you haven't seen anything recent, but that doesn't discount the reality that God is working. And sometimes things are brought to our mind that God did a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. Because when we rehearse these things that God has been doing for us, God gets the glory because we know that it's God doing it. So God gets the glory. And that's the simplest thing that he desires out of us, that we give him glory and honor and praise for the things that he's been doing, right? So we anticipate great things. You know, the world is a challenge out there. You know, it's daily, consistently, day by day, challenging our faith, challenging our confidence in God. That's how the world's set up. Every day, the prince of the power of the air has constructed something out there to push you away from God, push you to doubt God, push you to have no more confidence in God and walk away. But God, on the other hand, is saying, I'm here for you. I'm faithful to what I've promised to you. I will always perform for you. So don't doubt me. Don't doubt me. Remember what I did 5 years ago for you. Remember what I did when your children were little and you prayed and they were healed miraculously. Remember what I did for you when all things seemed done and I brought you out of that darkness and I set you on high. Remember what I've done for you, because that makes today look like nothing. Today's challenge is nothing in comparison to some of the things that God has brought each and every one of us through. We remember those things. And we say to the adversary, yeah, get behind me. I don't want to see your face. As a matter of fact, if I see your face one more time, I'm going to punch it in. God wants us to continually focus on him, right? That's what brings that peace. That's what brings that peace that is, it passes all understanding. right? When we focus on him and his ability to take care of us, when we stay our mind on him, he keeps us in perfect peace. When we stay our mind on his promises and on his interaction with us, we have perfect peace. So, and we have great joy knowing what's in store for each and every one of us in the challenges that lie ahead. It's an easy road when we follow the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I know, you know, we heard that in a prayer. You know, we walk in his steps. Where do his steps lead us? Right into the Father's presence. That's where we find ourselves as we walk in those steps of Jesus Christ. Always coming into the presence of the Father. Always being able to communicate with him, to have a relationship with him, to have him talk to us, to have him comfort us, to have him inspire us, to have him encourage us. These are the things that God desires. We're already saved. And now we continue to grow in a knowledge of him who's called us. A knowledge of all the great power that he's working in and around our lives so that we can glorify him and bring others to a knowledge of how easy salvation is and how easy it is to know our Heavenly Father, the one who created it all. So, anybody have a testimony they'd like to share? Ugh.
I got one.
All right.
Well, as everybody knows, it's winter time. So it's been consistently 8 degrees for about a week now. So earlier this week, my brother was driving my sister's car, and he was going to work and everything. He gives me a call. He goes, "Andrew, I smell oil coming through the AC vent." And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of odd." Then I said, "Well, when you get to work, check the oil." He checked it and said, "Oh, it's a quart low." I said, "All right, don't just add some." So anyways, he checked it again when he got home that night. He's like, "Oh, it's still a quart low." I was like, "Hey, you just put a quart in it." I said, "Well, all right." Didn't think anything of it and kind of put it on the back burner. Had some other stuff going on. So he said, next couple days, he had put a combined, I think, 5 quarts in his 4-cylinder. And then he told me about it on Thursday. I was like, "Huh, that's not good." So I go out and look at it, and it's pretty much, and I turn on the car, and it's pretty much spraying out the back of the motor. So I'm like, I got to work on this car. So anyways, I go in and, of course, talk to my mom about it. And I talked to her. I say, "Well, God told me exactly where it was. It's in the back of the motor. I know what's common back there for it to leak. So it'll only take me 30 minutes, but mom, it's been 8 degrees. And she was like, "Andrew, you got to believe God." I was like, "Believe him more. I'm believing him plenty." She said that when you guys were, she was talking about me and my brother, when we were 15, there was this one, it was 4th of July, 2005. And there was sirens going off in the area and it was raining. We said, "No, this is our day. We're going to go out there and grill. I don't care if the sirens come. I don't care if it hails. I don't care if a tornado comes or we can see a funnel cloud in the air. We're going to cast it out." So that's exactly what we did. We went out there and we prepared the grill. We lit it, started grilling, started hailing, wind blowing and everything. And we said, "Nope, this is our day." Kept on grilling, kept on having a good time. And before you know it, 30 minutes later, bam, weather cleared up and it was sunny. So I said, "Yeah, all right. Well, I agree with you that it's going to be a nice day. So I wake up and it doesn't say it on the, it doesn't say it on my phone. But I'm like, yep, it's going to be a nice day. Even though there's frost on all the windows, wind's blowing and it's really cold, it's going to be a nice day. Because I need to get this done because my brother needs to get to work. Say, God, you are a God of deliverance. You're going to get this done. So as we go on, my bench mate, he goes out to smoke a cigarette. And I stay in. And he's like, oh, Andrew, did you see outside? It is gorgeous. It's like 59 degrees and not the wind's not blowing or anything. You know, everything like that. So I was like, great, good. So I get the, on my way home, I pick up the part from the parts store. I go out and I'm just sitting outside and say, God, I'm just going to sit out here for a minute and do this. He goes, nope, hurry up, get it done. Get it done. Say, because it's not going to be nice tomorrow. So anyways, get it done. Everything is fine. It goes off without a hitch. I wash off the motor because it was bad. That oil leak was bad. It was losing like a quart. I think when I drove it to work and back, I drove it like a mile and it lost two quarts for the mile I drove it. And I'm like, it was bad. So anyways, I get it all done and everything. And Saturday, it's 8 degrees and it's snowing. So, yeah, God held the weather back. And it's just, it's amazing how you forget, you know. You just forget things like that. But, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, Andrew. Thanks. He warmed it up pretty nice for you.
For those that don't know where you live, Andrew, or don't know you, you want to tell them?
Oh, yeah. I'm living in Topeka, Kansas. I'm 30 years old. My mom was in the Word back in the 60s, and my grandmother actually back in the 60s or something. Yeah, they've been strong believers. My dad was in the Word, and my whole family's in the Word. I met Patty and Donnie, I think it was 8 years ago.
Maybe
a little while ago.
Yeah, I came down there, I think, with Preet and Johnny in like 2011. And me and Patty hit it off. And it's like I got along better with her than I did people my own age. And then,
because I'm a child.
I was going to imply that I was older than I actually am.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
An old soul. That's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not too old, you know, maybe 40 or so, but older than I am. Been working on cars for 14 years, and I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's pretty much it. Me in a nutshell.
That's quite a bit. That's great.
I think one of the most impressive testimonies I've ever heard, not that there's varying degrees with God of testimonies, but Andrew's twin brother was healed of stage 4 cancer. And they just believed God. So things like that are just, and I was trying to think a minute ago, was it Albert Einstein, all you scientific, historical brainiacs that said, everything is a miracle? You know, we should view life like everything is a miracle. Why not see it that way?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew, you said there was no wind. I think that's the biggest miracle of all.
Yeah, in Kansas.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I've just got a couple of verses I've wanted to share, but, you know, kind of in light of what, you know, I've heard, I guess, so far today, you know, I mean, God is the creator of this whole place, you know, and of course we have the adversary who's here trying to screw up what he created. But, Ann and I were talking about some stuff yesterday with the shop and, you know, discussing some, just some things that she has to deal with there. And, we got done talking. She was at the shop. I was here at the house and, was on the phone with her. And, I get these, verses of the day things from, I don't know, one of the Bible apps that I have, and I just happened to see it and I looked at it and I just thought it was perfect for what we were talking about at the time. But it's back in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, and it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know, and it just got me thinking about that in relation to, at the time, you know, just what I was talking with Ann about with the shop, and, you know, she's, I don't know, it was something, I forget exactly, you know, wondering if this may happen or that may happen. And it's just like, fear not, I'm, you know, I mean, they're right there now. I mean, right there to begin with, fear thou not. We don't have nothing to be afraid of. And there's, you know, it's like Donnie was saying, you know, we have the prince of the power of the air that's trying to screw things up for the believer each and every day, trying to get you to lose your confidence. You know, he's not going to do it all at once either. It's just going to be try to get you, you know, 1% less confident in God, you know, every week for 10 years till you're just like, oh, you know, I don't expect God to do anything for me. But, you know, he's the creator and he's our father. So we have no reason to be fearful or afraid when we can be completely at peace and be still in the midst of everything. You know, and then as Andrew is saying, you know, just, hey, you know, there's no reason why, you know, God, the creator, can't turn tomorrow or, you know, into a nice day, you know, or if you needed to be nice right now, I guess thinking about his barbecue thing there, you know, it's just like, I mean, I mean, 30 minutes maybe or whatever it was, but I've seen that before. It's just like, you know, storms going on around me and I just say, okay, God, I don't want nothing to happen to my place, you know, and then everything's fine. You know, it storms all around, but it doesn't come near me, type of thing. And that's what we should expect. I mean, that we're God's kids. We are special. And so we should expect special things. And the reality is God's trying to do it for every single person. And it's up to each person to listen to God and do it as he says, you know, to follow him. But, you know, God's a jealous God because he knows if we don't follow him, we get hurt. And he's only trying to help us have the best lives we possibly can by saying, hey, I'm the one that you need to follow. I know a lot of people I've just seen it, you know, where, well, there's, you know, different ways to, you know, do good or live life or who to follow and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm not going to follow God that says, well, you know, I'm the only God. Well, he's saying that because he's trying to help us from getting hurt, you know, and he wants us to advertise for him. But, and the other verse I was thinking of is in 2 Corinthians 10. And I think we've covered this a lot, or heard it a lot lately, where it says, for in verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm losing my voice. but it was it's the verse right before that that really made me got me thinking this week. But it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It compares our flesh to the might of God. You know, it doesn't just say, you know, the weapon are, yeah, they're not carnal, but they're spiritual. It says they're mighty. You know, they're obviously spiritual, but because it's God, they're mighty. And that's with a view towards being able to handle all the strongholds of the devil and what he throws up around us. So our God is the God and the creator. It's like Brian was talking about, you know, he's the creator and we're his kids. So it's a good thing. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Matt. That's great. Yes. Spiritual weapons are mighty. That is certain. They're mighty. They're not weak like carnal ones.
That's it. So,
Hey, Tim.
Just a thought. God will never tell you you forgot. You know, we say that endlessly, you know, in situations where we forget to go ahead and do something or we forget to be, you know, be at a certain place at a certain time. God never does forget. He's always there.
Hey, I got an update.
Is she muted?
All of a sudden, we can't hear you, Kathy. What happened? You went mute on us.
Where'd you go, girly?
Are you there?
Ah, there you go. Hey. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I've been having a little challenge with my phone, so let me know if you can't hear me, but I have a little update.
Go ahead.
Okay. Some of you know the miracle that happened to my mom, you know, like 10 years ago when she was dying on the emergency room table, and God healed her. And not only that, but it was miraculous how that she got off all her medicine. She was on 14 medicines. And so anyway, this week, the adversary has like been challenging us both with health. And it was at the first of the week, I think it was Tuesday, when mom was breathing heavy, and she just wasn't doing very well. And so we had a little come to Jesus meeting, because every once in a while, you know, you need to remember what God is going to do and if you need to be doing anything. And so anyway, we had a little talk, and one of her favorite verses is in Jeremiah 17:14. And of course it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." And she likes to claim that. And I ministered to her, and, you know, basically she, from her apartment down the hall, if she walked down the hall and walked back, she was out of breath. And, you could imagine the fear that could try to, you know, affect her. And so anyway, the next day I go over and she looks at me kind of sheepish and says, "Well, I'm healed." I'm like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, something happened with my breathing. It just kind of popped and I can breathe normal now." And I walked down the hall and back and walked down the hall and back again. And I can breathe normally and I feel great. So I just wanted to let y'all know that mom sends her love and continue to pray for, and she got healed kind of within like 24 hours this week.
Wonderful. That's great. Yeah, Julia's always had a great deal of confidence in God. She'd just be patient and wait. That's one thing I've seen about your mom, Kathy. Yeah. She's patient with herself.
You know? Yeah, she is. And also she's tenacious in her believing. Yeah. You know, she tells me she's like, I'm not going to die. And I just found a verse in the Old Testament that says, I will not die. You know, that's a good thing to claim when you're 86 years old.
Amen. Well, praise God. That's great. You give your mom our love. And we are inspired by her deliverance.
Yes,
I will.
All right.
Where's that verse, Kathy? I will not die.
Probably wouldn't be hard to Google search it.
Okay.
David, what are you doing?
David's going to share. And Lindsay.
What's on your heart, David?
We have a couple of testimonies. So we rewind a little bit. We have a boatload of testimonies surrounding our wedding, but there are a couple of others that there was a phrase that I learned from a believer from India, Ashish. I know some of y'all know him, but he was talking about this, like when the adversary tries to give you something that is either bad or it's like good, but not best, not great. It's like receiving the wrong package at your door and you just send it back. You go, this is not the package I ordered. This is not what I said. This is not the package I ordered. So we learn to live by that with two different things. So number one, as we were getting ready to get married, we needed a place to live. Our old roommate situation wasn't working out and we didn't really want to have to live in our folks' downstairs. We didn't have to. So, although her parents are awesome, but, so we would look online and we were like, okay, like, you know, let's look for like subletting. Let's look for, you know, the cheaper side of rentals, those kinds of things. We're like, maybe we find a basement apartment somewhere in law suite that someone's not using anymore. And we kept going and, you know, we'd find something and it would look really good and it'd be in our price range, but there would be something that would be off. I remember one of them was, it would have been like a one bed, one bath, but like really spacious high rise, an office, like had all this great stuff. But the guy who we would have sublet it from just weirded me out. He didn't seem right. So we were like, no, you know what? Like, we're just going to keep standing. We're not going to settle for less. And then we're, you know, we go to check out another basement, little apartment in-law suite. And it was small, but we're like, hey, you know what? It's fine. We don't mind starting small. You know, we're going to save money this way. We can, you know, plan for something bigger a couple years down the road. But then we discovered that the people who are subletting it to us who live upstairs have like an 8-month-old baby. They're like, you can't make any noise whatsoever. And they're like, well, we're both musicians. No. But we, you know, we thought about it for a minute and then we just kept going, no, this isn't the package we ordered. We're not going to settle for this. And we stuck with that. And as we continued to walk this out with God, we got a clearer and clearer vision of what we really did want. Sometimes when we set out for something, we don't know everything we're looking for. Sometimes we do, but you know, we stayed in it with God and every time it was like, all right, God, like this, something's not right about this. No, you know? So then, finally we're like, okay, you know what? Let's just open it up. We'll look at actual apartments and condos and stuff too. You know, it's worth the extra money per month, to have everything we're looking for. And you know, once we opened it up, and we were clear on what we were looking for, I think it was like the next place that we checked out that got in contact with is the place we're in now. And it's not just a studio spot. it's very reasonably priced for the DC area. So it's slightly expensive for Atlanta, but it's nice. And it's the budget we were looking for. It's got all the space that we need. We didn't want to have to start with like a big space for us to try to take care of and care for. I didn't really want to have to do a whole lot of, you know, yard work. and our landlord's a believer. He's awesome. He's very chill. And so many more things lined up, but it was literally just, you know, us going, you know what? No, this is not what we're looking for. Like, this is not sufficient for us. And we just learned, you know, to be bold about what we're looking for with God, because he'll be bold back to you. God will let you know if something isn't right in a loving, fatherly way. But, you know, God's not offended by us being bold. He told us to come to the throne that way. And so just, but that was kind of our theme, is this is not the package I ordered. This is not the package we ordered. And then for me also, I needed a car. Cause I had a vehicle, the inspection and registration had expired at the beginning of 2019. And it was a 2001 Subaru Forester with like 220,000 miles on it. It wasn't worth an oil change. Although we kept the oil up, but, you know, so, was a really wonderful believer, who, out of nowhere, blessed me with a decent chunk of cash, $3,500, to go just get a cash car, just go find something that, you know, will last me the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, whatever. So, and it was the same thing, you know. Lindsay's dad is a really, really great mechanic, and he knows a lot about, you know, used cars in the whole market. So I was really thankful to have his help. And he and I went and checked out a bunch of cars, and it was kind of the same thing. It was like, I'd show up and, you know, I'd find one and it would look good and it'd be in the price range. And it'd be like, no, this isn't it. No. And then there was one car we looked at. And I was like, I'm going to hate driving this car. Like, I'm not going to want to be in this car for a month, much less the next, like, you know, however long. So again, I started getting clear with God, everything I was looking for. And then we found a 2009 Mazda 3 stick shift, which I love, sunroof, aftermarket Bluetooth system connected to the stereo, so I didn't have to get any aftermarket systems for myself. Just had like everything I was looking for, and then some. And it was like, okay, this is what I was looking for, you know. And that doesn't mean that we can't be content with the things that we have. I was very thankful to have the Subaru. It allowed me to go work and go do things. So I wasn't like, oh no, like, you know, I'm not driving this at all till I have what I want. But we have to know what God wants to give us. And a lot of that is knowing who we are. And some of that is God helping us learn who we are and experience his care for us and experience where he's seated us. So anyway, you know, again, we have just a whirl of testimony surrounding, you know, the last couple of years. But those are two of the big ones recently. Just sticking with God until we had what we were looking for, what we wanted.
We had a wedding with 78 people during a pandemic and nobody got COVID. So,
oh, yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Totally blessed by God.
Wait a minute. Don't you know that's a super spreader event?
And we didn't mandate masks.
Yeah. Well, you spread the gospel. The good news is everybody's safe.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, hey, man, that's wonderful. That's great. I like that. You know, send the package back if it's not what you want.
Yeah.
Not what you ordered. Send it back. Hmm. Wait for the right one to come. That's awesome. That's great.
So something that's been blessing me, Donnie, you know, with this whole COVID thing, you know, everybody's been like distancing and compartmentalizing and wearing what I call face diapers. You can't see people's faces. You can't see their expressions, and it doesn't really help anyway. The science behind that proves it. But, and I'm sure you've heard about, you know, what's been going on with Twitter and Parler being shut down, and a lot of people moved over to this new app called Telegram. And so I've been on Telegram for a little while in several chat rooms. And what I found is it's been a perfect opportunity to share God's word in many different places. So I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I do know this is that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that gives the increase. So I'm just going to keep speaking God's word, even though we can't be face to face many times. And I think it's a great opportunity to do that on Telegram. The other thing was, is that I noticed, you know, Lynn Wood's on Telegram and he's speaking the word every chance he gets. So I decided to write him a letter, and won't get into the contents of the whole letter, but I basically told him in the subject, keep going, never give up. The race is already won. And I like the fact that I'm seeing more and more people speaking God's word. I like the fact that I'm speaking God's word to people. And an interesting, or actually not interesting, but an expected and pleasant byproduct of that is that my relationship with my Heavenly Father has gotten so much tighter. And that's what I wanted to share.
Ryan? Yeah, we seek every opportunity that's presented to us to speak the truth. You know, we don't back down from that. That's for sure. And that's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
John.
Yeah.
I thought it was obviously worth sharing. That verse is Psalm 118:17, especially in light of what was just shared. It says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Great. That's awesome. Yep. What else is there in life but to declare the works of God in our lives, right?
Yeah.
What else is more important than that? That's awesome. What, Vita, you got anything on your heart and mind?
Well, yeah, a lot of things on my heart. I guess, first of all, I want to thank all you guys for praying for my family. And for some reason, fellowship is very difficult right now. And I guess because that's a lot of my memories with my mom. So. But I wanted to share a testimony. And because I'm not ready to talk about that part yet, but we put our house on the market to be sold. And I saw you guys that, what was it? Tuesday, was it? I think it was Tuesday. Okay, so that Saturday, the realtor came out and we put the house on the market. And so it hit that Sunday. By the next Sunday, it was under contract. We had had three offers, and actually the offer we got was $10,000 more than what we had asked for. So it just reminds me of the faithfulness of God. And I guess if anything, I would like to encourage you younger guys, those of you who have a desire to, you know, do things for God, not to be shaken or moved when, you know, things may not be lining up the way you think they should, you know, financially, or, you know, maybe buying a home or whatever those things are that will come up in your life. I know I had a great desire to want to do things for God. And in doing that, I did not put aside a nest, as people would say, right? A safety nest to, you know, for later on in life when I am older and maybe not physically able to do the things that I used to do. But yeah, I just continued to move with the things of God and trust in God. And I mean, there was times I was like, God, okay, what am I going to do when I get older, you know? Will I have to check into one of those senior citizen high rise where, you know, the government take care of you, or
or this, you know, do this or do that. I remember one time Sangit used to talk about Social Security. What is that, you know? So, but, you know, those things come up in your head, you know, but you're moving for God and being faithful in that. And it just reminds me, and when I look back at how he's taken care of me, you know, step by step, and each, you know, juncture in my life, I can see his hand working. So if you guys have a desire to do that, just move with it. He will be there every step of the way. And, you know, he will provide, he will have the provision for you, even when it doesn't seem like it's going to be there. And I think about me, I'm getting ready to move into a house that I, is being built from the ground up, that I was able to design, you know, have input in designing, and I did not put one red penny into it, you know, and it's just, God is just so faithful, and he loves us so much, and he's willing to take care of us, you know, even in the middle of storms, you know, with what's going on now, with grieving and going through that process, he is still so faithful and so present. So, yeah, my eyes is on him, you know, my eyes is on him. So I kind of wanted to share that, and also to thank you all for your prayers and your continual prayers for my family. So that's it.
Thank you, Vida. Yeah. Yeah, that is so true and so important for us to remember, is that, you know, God is there for us in everything. He's faithful. You just keep your eyes on him, and he will perform. You're right. Don't be anxious, not anxious for anything. No matter what comes up, we're not anxious. So that's wonderful. Thanks, Vida. We love you. And we continue to pray for you and your fam.
So you can come and take a couple of them off my hands if you want to, though.
I might go that far, but, you know, hey, that's a thought.
I love you guys.
We love you, too.
Okay, well,
Patty, yes, sir?
I'll share the word. This is what hit me this morning and what I wanted to share with you all. You could go there or you can just listen. It's not so much a testimony as it is a teaching. And gosh, there's already been so much great stuff shared, and we could stop right now, right? Well, I'm actually in Genesis. You know, the Bible's a really good book, so I thought we'd start at the beginning. But I was thinking about how God's vision of us needs to be what our vision of ourselves should be. What God says about us, we should speak about ourselves and about one another. Mm-hmm. And the only difficulty sometimes is that we have this flesh, you know, we are body and soul creatures with spirit in us, and we can choose to look at it like, okay, we are spiritual beings in these physical bodies, in these earthen vessels, like it says in 2 Corinthians. The treasure is in the jug, right? But you can't let that jug get in your way. So it's all a matter of focus and, you know, what your viewfinder for life is. And ours has to be what God says about us. And so in Genesis, I'm going to just read a few verses here. It's in chapter 32. And the essence of this, what I'm sharing, has to do with God having always, or not always, but many times throughout the Word of God, he changes someone's name, and he gives them another name to give them a greater vision of themselves and ultimately their purpose. And it's not all revealed all at one time. It comes over time. And consequently, you know, a couple of these guys we're going to look at very quickly, they their lives influenced our lives, all of history. So I'll try to keep this brief. So the first person I want to look at is Jacob. And in verse 28 in chapter 32, it says in Genesis, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So now this is actually an angel speaking on behalf of God, who, you know, he had just wrestled with this angel all night. So I'm not going to get into that whole side of the, you know, what happened there. I'm not totally sure about all of that. But the point is that God was, the message was being delivered for God to Jacob, that his name was going to become Israel from this point forward. And the, and Israel means a prince of God. Okay. But then you see throughout the whole Bible, hundreds and hundreds of times, Jacob is still referred to as Jacob. And you, and it's like, why is that? And it turns out that it kind of emphasizes his carnal side, his physical side, the side of body and soul, you know, not emphasizing the spiritual power of who he is as a prince for God. He's the prince, and he needs to acknowledge that. So anyways, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but the prince of God. For as a prince, you have power with God, and you have it with men also. Just think about that. That's pretty intense. And you can read the rest there if you want. That's all I'm going to read about him. And then, of course, you all remember this one about Abraham, who's the father of many nations, right? Well, back in Genesis 17, I do want to read a little more in this one here. It says in verse 1, and when Abram, that was his initial name. Oh, and by the way, where we just read about Jacob, Israel, that was over 1700 years BC. So we're looking at almost 4,000 years ago. Not quite. Really long time ago. Really a lot of history has transpired since that time, right? So here we are in Genesis 17, and this is about Abram. And it says in verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so he's 99 years old, okay, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And the word perfect has to do with being upright, being honest, being sincere, being authentic, not necessarily without fault. Okay. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, and this is so beautiful, you know, that emphasizing that beautiful face-to-face relationship that Abram was having with God. And verse 4, and as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Okay, he's going to be a father of many nations. In other words, he's going to be a father of great multitude. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. He was, as Abram, literally the exalted father. He already had prestige and affluence in his standing in his flesh, in his body and soul. He already had that as Abram. He was the exalted father. But now God is giving him an even greater vision. It's like, you got to get your eyes up, get your vision up. Now you're going to be the father of many nations, Abraham. And I will make thee, verse 6, exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed hereafter. And, you know, some of these things are noteworthy to go back and study because they're fascinating, because they're thousands and thousands of years ago, right? And I want to end up in our administration in Romans chapter 4, and just to cap it off, because, you know, God has given us a name. God has seated us in the heavenlies. He's put us next to God, our Father, and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our brother, we are seated there as well. You know, we have that name, that exalted thing going on because of the Spirit within us, if that's what we choose to focus on and look at. And I love this section in Romans 4, verse 13, we can start there. It says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. So it's not about being squeaky clean, walking that tightrope of the law, being all religious and perfect and holier than thou, perfect in the sense of being legalistic. But it is about walking that walk of faith and trusting God and being continually having that dialogue and that relationship with God and putting him first. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, you know, you didn't earn it, unmerited, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, this was all before the law was given, right? And this is the precedent, you know, that the just shall live by faith, which is, that's a good one to look up those usages in the Bible. Verse 17, and as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, father of a multitude, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth or maketh alive the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. God called those things that be not as though they were. You know, God appeared many times to Abraham and Abram and showed him things that your progeny is going to be like the sand of the sea, like the stars of the universes in greatness, in multitude, innumerable, uncountable. And that's how we got in there. We're part of the whole big package. So I think it's also cool to note, and I think all you ladies will appreciate this. Well, I didn't, we're already gone from that record in Genesis 17, but he also said, you know, Sarah, he renamed Sarah. She had a different name, Sarai, or however you say it, but then she became Sarah, which means princess. Mm-hmm. So, you know, ladies, we need to think of ourselves as princesses for God. You know, we need to reign in this life as those whom God has highly exalted. We need to have that vision of ourselves and mm-hmm. keep the vision that God has of us, because He called those things that be not as though they were. So, yeah. You know, this applies to us, you know, throughout all the pages of history, this has been God's heart and desire, you know, that we reign in life, that we be princes and princesses, and that God is going to take care of us no matter what the situation, like so many of you have all spoken about today. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we simply walk and live and breathe and have our being spiritually connected to the Father, and we have God and Christ in us, and that we give glory and honor to God by simply walking and breathing and living. If I never say a word, although I'm sure God calls on us to speak, right? You know, with or without a mask, you know? and, you know, Vida, I just want to say how very much I love you and how much I've thought about you in the last few weeks. And, you know, we also did a memorial service, not just for your mom, which, I mean, that just, that one really, I can't even hardly speak about it. Like you had said, you couldn't yet. And then we did one for a young lady, barely 30 years old, less than 2 weeks after, and really has caused a lot of reflection for all of us to think about how big God is and how ultimately we're all going to be together, and he will take care of us no matter what. So, yeah, so that's
wonderful. That's great. Yeah, you know, it is. Yeah, it's so great for each of us when we do look at ourselves the way God looks at us. You know, he calls us saints, right? He calls us saints. You know, that term saint is, you know, in our culture, I guess, in our times, it's more associated with, you know, somebody who the church has determined has lived such a great life that they, after they pass away, they're named saints, right? They're called saints. And yet God says, no, you're a saint already. You're my holiest of all. You know, you're a saint. You're a son. You're a daughter. And that's who we are. You are righteous. That's who we are. You know, you could put that inscription in front of each of our names. You know, instead of Mr. or Mrs., you could put righteous. Righteous Brian. Righteous Kathy. Righteous Vita. Righteous Charlie. Right? That's, you could say Charlie the Saint. Hey, Saint Charlie. Right? Saint Debbie. Saint David. Hey, that's got a ring to it. Right? See, but this is how God has labeled us. This is what he calls us. He calls us his children, his sons. And in a formal respect, the greetings to the church, you know, that's what he calls us, his saints, you know, his holy ones, his workmanship, right? So it's so great for us when we consider ourselves, when we look in the mirror and we see ourselves as God sees us, that's when our lives begin to manifest all that we have been promised. Just like Abraham, just like Jacob, you know, when they went back to, I mean, I don't see a record of Abraham ever going back to using his old name or the scripture referring to him that way. It always referred to him as Abraham once God called him that and said, this is what your name's going to be. Whereas with Jacob and Israel, those two names, sometimes it reflects back to that, to Jacob. And it emphasizes who he was before the promise of God came to him.
Yeah.
You know. And bringing attention to the reality that the only reason you got past what you used to be is because what God has done,
what
God has promised and God has performed. And that's the reality that we all live in, you know, that now we are seated in the heavenlies. Now we are at the right hand of the throne of power. Now we are sons of God. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be, you know, because we'll see him as he is. We will know even as we are known. And God knows us the way he has made us. And that's something that we all have the joy and privilege of living in and being thankful for. So all the things that God has for those that love him are ours. And we can anticipate with great, great anticipation answers to prayers and great deliverance in the days ahead, because God is our Father. We are his holy possession, his purchased possession. And we're special to him. We are the apple of his eye. So let's think of ourselves that way and enjoy the benefits of being sons and daughters. So, right, that's why I guess we don't have to be afraid, because God's not only our God, he's our Father, right? So wonderful fellowship today, you guys. And I'll pray and we'll hear the manifestations, okay? Thank God for all he's doing. Father, thank you for the great reality of the power of your presence in each of our lives. Thankful, Father, for continuing to grant us opportunity to speak for you, but not only the opportunity, but give us the words to speak that pierce through to the hearts of men, that they too can come to know your great grace and great mercy, that they too can come to know that your power is above all powers, and that you have entrusted that power and authority to each one of us who believe, that we are your sons and daughters now in this life. In this place that we reside, we are your representatives. We represent your throne, your authority, your power. And that because of that, you provide for us. You provide those things for our lives, Father, and we're thankful for it. That each and every prayer does not go unanswered. That you continue to comfort our hearts, to strengthen us, to guide our steps, so that we can bring great glory to you. That we can turn people's eyes from darkness to light, that we can snatch them out of the power of the hand of the adversary and set them in your presence. Thank you, Father, for the great reality of being your sons and daughters and what that means to those around us. So, Father, thank you for these things. Thank you for filling us continually with your wisdom, your knowledge, your power. And thank you for that Holy Spirit that you've placed within us that enables us to speak for you at all times and to do the signs, miracles, and wonders. Thank you, Father, for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Can someone speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy?
Boto varabas kuruata vashva, varabas kumba badeva, boto varabase bodotoba. Children, open up the pages of my word and let my comfort and love wash over you. For surely I hold you in the palms of my hands and will tenderly take care of you. For you are my child. You are my beloved Son of God. You are my ambassador of light. You walk with great power. Yea, ye are my royalty. So walk boldly, because you are taken care of and you are comforted, so that you can extend that comfort and peace to others.
I am your Father, and I will answer all your prayers if you only reach out and come to me. For I am the giver of light and of love and of strength. Stand, be bold in your own heart, claiming the promises I have given you. For I, the Lord thy God, love you dearly. I will always be with you.
Okay. Delight in me, my children, for I delight in you. Walk and talk with me, my children, for you are my children, and we have direct access one to another through the accomplished work of your big brother, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, my children, there's nothing I would not do for you, and you need me, and I need you to walk forth and be bold and shine as lights in this dark and perverse world. Just let your light shine Know, my children, that I have already answered your prayers before it even happened. So don't worry and don't be afraid, and just walk and talk with me and love one another. For truly I, the Lord your God, have provided all things good for you, and I will never disappoint you, my children. So don't look at the five senses, but look to the spiritual aspects of these things in this life, and know that it's only a matter of time before it all comes around and it all happens as my word promises.
Put your total trust in me, for I am your God, and I am not a man that I should lie. My word is truth. My word shall always come to pass in the past, in the present, in the future. So know for surety, my children, that you are sealed unto that day, and that I will gather you together and you will live with me for eternity. But while you're here on this earth, speak my word. Trust in me. Lean not unto your own understanding, but trust the spirit that I've placed in you. Listen to what I say to you and speak it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, that's awesome. God's certainly good, isn't he? I'm inspired.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
May I share a healing?
Sure.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hi, Patty. I'm my friend Patrick has had surgery for a tumor on his liver. Now, this only happened a couple of weeks ago. He had his brother or his friend, Frank, pray for him before he went. And he prayed that it would be gone. So the doctors go in and they couldn't find it. They searched and they searched, but it wasn't there. And they said, well, sorry, but it's not, we don't find anything now. So God healed him. So that was my story of healing.
That's great.
Wonderful.
That's great. Boy, that was, must have been a pretty big shock for those doctors, right? Where'd it go? That's awesome. God is awesome. He certainly is. That's great.
Oh boy. So what else?
Oh, guys, pray for the Chiefs. They really need to win this year too. So
what's that?
I said pray for the Chiefs. They really need to win this year too.
Chiefs football.
Yes, football.
Pray for J.J. Watt and his upcoming free agency to get picked up by the right team next year so we can get that ring.
There you go.
Do you guys know each other, David and Andrew, Lindsay?
I think I've met David once.
Yeah, I think Andrew and I have met before.
Yeah. Yeah, how's it going, man?
Going really good. How about you?
Oh, going pretty good. Yeah. Hey,
So, David and Lindsay just got married. When was it?
October.
Congrats, man. Congrats.
Thank you.
Remember our night at Bravo's? Woohoo! Oh. That's so good.
We order Mexican food around here, and it's just not the same. No. It's just nowhere near as good.
Well, margaritas.
Oh. No, you'll just have to make your own.
Yeah, yep. I know.
Well, I wouldn't let them go home that night because we all drank too much. Oh, I'm they were staying up at our cabin, and it's like, no, you're going to sleep upstairs in one of our bedrooms. And my husband leaves me. Goodbye. And Justin's here too, but he went somewhere. So yeah, I love David Hitchcock, and I've just recently come to know Lindsay, and David is, I've known him since he was a little bitty kid, and we would go visit Uncle Rico, who's my husband's brother. And here's Justin right here.
Hey, Justin, what's up, man?
What's up, Justin?
So we would, these kids all played together when they were little, and the cousins in the Hitchcock's backyard. On the trampoline. Somebody had a trampoline. You guys, right?
That was Rico.
Yeah. Oh, Rico had the trampoline.
Like our backyard had the basketball court.
Ah, sometimes, you know, when you're, you recreate memories as you remember them, and you may not be totally accurate, but I'm as close as I can get, you know, at being a senior and all.
Hey, the trampoline, really, I spent hours and hours on that thing.
Yeah. And then it was such a blessing too. So many great things that have happened these last couple of years, like David performed the wedding for our nephew, Ricky Joe. He's always going to be Ricky Joe to me, and Moonsun. And when we were out in Texas, so that was just so awesome.
That was great.
Oh, it was. And then, as I understand, Ricky and Moonsun were at your wedding before they went to South Korea.
Yeah, that was epic. They did like three weddings in a row, I think. He called me up. I didn't think he was going to make it. He was all like, "We're going to try to make your wedding, but we got like brother-in-law the day before, and then we have like, if we go to your wedding, we have like 24 hours before we have to be in South Korea or something like that."
Yeah.
It was crazy, and it was all like, "Man, you're fine, dude. If you can't make it, I understand. You've got all this stuff, you know, you got to do. You know, we'll celebrate another time." And then they made it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Baby. I would like to say.
Here's.
Little Brian.
Look at that.
Little Briar.
Wow.
Oh. So beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
What's the name?
Briar Rose.
Ah,
Briar Rose.
Ah, look how beautiful she is.
That's a princess name.
Yeah, princess. Briar Rose.
What are you going to call her, Charlie?
Briar. He's not going to call her buddy.
Prickly thorny.
You know, if you know anything about Charlie, you know that the response to that was the. She's a precious one, though. She is a beauty.
Aw. Yes.
I already told Sarah that if Briar gets a little fussy, that she just tell Briar, quit being so prickly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And, you know, David, these are Laura's parents. You knew that, right?
Oh.
Laura was in... Japan.
She's been in Japan for a while now, right?
Yeah, and she's been on here a bunch, but not lately because of working jobs or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Her older sister.
Well, not to mention the fact that it's midnight when we get on this thing in Tokyo.
1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, 1 o'clock in the morning.
When she wasn't working, she could make it, but when she's working, she can't do it.
Yeah.
That's our turnaround right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
So, Cheryl, you were going to share something?
Yes, I wanted to tell David that I know his daddy.
Oh, cool.
I've known his daddy, Hauk, for years, and mommy. So I just wanted to say. So I wanted to say that Justin's looking really good. If I was younger.
Whoa.
But I'm 72, so I can say things like that.
Yeah. You have no shame when you get older.
Yeah. You're really old. You have to get in line.
Right? Standing up here going, "Mom."
Cheryl, you have to get in line. I'm sorry.
Okay. You first.
You guys are the best. Vita, I was really so blessed to get to know Tony. You know, we hung out at Vita's house with Vita and Tony, or Tony Anthony. I just enjoyed that so much. And there were just kids and grandkids there. It wasn't all your thousands of sisters and brothers. And I know, I will say on behalf of Vita too, that I know that just dealing with family was really, you know, all her sisters and stuff and brothers. And there was just a lot on her during that whole time. And then just that, you know, and Cynthia was there. So Cynthia came, and just to be with them at Vita and Tony's house and to get to know Tony a little bit, because Donnie had hung out with Tony, but I didn't know him.
Only one time Tony came to the men's fellowship, and he could see that I was checking him out.
Yeah. And I warned him.
That's what he said when he came back.
Oh, and I was. I'm like, okay. All right, Tony, huh? You're Tony. Okay.
Well, when you guys showed up, when they did that surprise birthday party for me 3 or 4 years ago, I don't remember when it was, you guys came, and I'm like, okay, I'm warning you, you better take care of my sister Vita. You better not be messing around and breaking her heart.
He stepped up, though.
He's a wonderful guy. He really
is. He's a great guy.
He's still here, and he'll never let us forget.
Well,
we
knew that anyway, Vita. If you were going to be, you know,
curious
about the guy, we knew he had to be a good man.
He had to take care of you because you're a great woman.
That's right. We put the fear of the Lord in him.
I think he already had it before we came along, but you know.
Yeah,
but it was wonderful spending that time with you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
We
have to do that again.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, please. And I'm so excited about your house.
That's right. You got another, 6 months or so before the house?
April, right?
April the 19th is the
April. April. Okay. That's just tomorrow.
You told me that the other day on the phone, and I still can't remember it.
So everything is moving so fast, and it's like, okay. Okay. So
the
biggest thing is packing, Donnie.
Huh?
The biggest thing is packing.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I imagine.
So Taisha is coming over this evening to help me out a little bit.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah. Good. But thank you guys for doing that. It really blessed him, and it blessed me to be able to hang out with you and stuff like that. And, you know, family. We love family, right?
but this spirit is thicker than blood, right? We are the family of God is more family than family. I mean, and see, I'm amazed at your family because I don't have any brothers or sisters. I don't have parents. I don't have anybody left in my family. I have my husband and his family, our kids, and the believers. And that's, you know, you are the family to me. I have no one left in my family. And
well, how many siblings did you have?
Vita? Me? 10. Yeah. I had 10.
10. You're one of 11.
Yeah, one of 11. The oldest.
She's the bossy.
Oldest girl, the bossy one.
But you're the one that was seeking and wanting God's word. And I was thinking about you and your mom, and sitting right here where your mom sat so many times. And
my favorite seat.
My dog would get in her lap. My dog knows good people.
Yeah.
But
toward the end, when they was getting ready to give her the medicine to put her to sleep, and they asked her if you want us to call the chaplain. She said, no. She said, my pastor's been here already. So, you know, you guys were her family and stuff. And I guess that's why fellowship is so hard, because these are my most memories with her, you know.
Yeah.
Always in fellowship. I would do a Wednesday night fellowship for us, but then I had moved it to Monday around noon to accommodate her. And since then, I haven't been able to do it, you know, get back to it at some point. But, you know, I'll let God heal my heart on that. But we are family, and it's very important, you know.
Amen. Yep, and we all have that great family reunion to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Boy, isn't that going to be fun?
Mm-hmm.